This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported radio for the Sacramento Valley. We'll get started here in a moment, folks. Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond, including the smoke that's hanging over the Sacramento Valley at this point.
And clouds.
And clouds.
It rained up in Yankee Hill.
Bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my choice.
Say Lord.
I say Christ, I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein or Superman.
All I wanna do is bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle.
That was Queen, Bicycle Race, and it sets the scene for a portion of our interview tonight. We'll be talking with Caitlin Dalby, the executive director of the Butte Environmental Council. They have the Bicycle Music Festival coming up this Saturday. You'll hear a lot about that shortly. You'll also hear about a lot of the great work that Beck is doing around our town and community. Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFI supporters and by Neil Yelland, a financial advisor with Edward Jones in Chico. No matter where you are in life's journey, Neil can offer guidance and strategies for wealth and retirement income, college savings accounts, estate and legacy plans, charitable giving, and more. For a consultation or more information, Neil can be reached at 530-345-8913. And he's on the corner of 3rd Avenue and the Esplanade. Neil Yelland, Edward Jones member, SIPC. And we're made possible by Halo Breast Care Center, Halo Diagnostics, continuing to change the way patients experience health care. Now offering a full suite of MRI imaging services, including authorizations for service, quick turnaround times for scheduling, and results. Halo Breast Care Center, Halo Diagnostics, the trusted name in advanced medical imaging for our community, located at 1720 Esplanade in Chico. Our interview today with Caitlin Dalby is pre-recorded via Zoom. You'll hear a little bit of scratchiness and echo in the first 30 seconds of the interview, but then our audio expertise kicked in. We solved the problem, and the rest is smooth sailing. Caitlin Dalby on Ecotopia. Our guest this afternoon on Ecotopia is Caitlin Dalby. She's the executive director of the Butte Environmental Council. The mission of BEC is to protect and defend the land, air, water of Butte County and the surrounding region through action, advocacy, and education. We'll learn how BEC is doing that and has been doing it for over 45 years. Welcome, Caitlin. Thank you for being with us on Ecotopia.
So, thanks for having me, Stephen.
Okay. Good to have you again.
Most people in our region know something about BEC, but for those who don't, could you give us a little background history and the accomplishments in previous years?
So Butte Environmental Council has been active in the Butte County area, home based out of Chico, since 1975. So this year we'll be hitting our 47-year anniversary in the fall. Super exciting. Since its conception, BEC has been doing boots on the ground work, and they started with recycling, starting the first recycling program in Chico, in Butte County, and then has expanded from there to everything from advocacy work and, you know, engaging with citizens and elected officials and agencies, and really just trying to make a positive impact on our environment here in the Butte County area. We have, you know, grants and contracts that come and go, doing different projects, such as the Oaks program a few years ago. We're wrapping up an urban forest program with the city of Chico. We have other tree planting programs that I'll talk about probably later that go through the whole county, education programs. And then a lot of our work is really grassroots funded by donors, individual donors and members who do recurring donations. And most of our advocacy work is funded through grassroots efforts. And also, sorry, I also forgot that we have all these events that we do through the year. I'm like, I'm missing a big component here. All of BEC's events. So BEC's pretty well known for the annual Endangered Species Fair or Endangered event. Chico Bicycle Music Festival now is a recurring event that BEC does. And then another one that we're really well known for also is the annual Bidwell Park and Chico Creeks cleanup every September.
So let's just break it down a little bit. The three areas of impact, which you mention in your website on your mission statement, is action, advocacy, and education. So let's talk a little bit more about your education programs. You have some programs for kids, which have been really successful, and they've changed and morphed over the years. But tell us a little bit about what's going on for kids.
Thanks, Susan. So our current education programs, the longest running one is RARE. That's for Recycling and Rubbish Education. That's a contract with Butte County and associated with the Neil Road Landfill. And the goal with that program is to divert waste from the landfill, encourage recycling and composting. And we've been doing that for several years now. Actually, I don't know the number off the top of my head because it's a much longer running program than I've been around. So that program consists of a BEC educator going into classrooms through all of Butte County and giving a workshop on either recycling or composting. We also do oil recycling workshops. Those are usually geared towards older older people, older students who are in an auto shop class or even in a college class. But it's not just classrooms. We've also done workshops for the Boys and Girls Club. We've been called up by scouts to do workshops. We've held workshops in our community garden for all community members. So really, if anybody wants to host a workshop that's about recycling, local recycling or local composting, or even an oil recycling workshop, they can go on our website and sign up for that. And then our educator reaches out to basically kind of meet the group where they're at and customize the workshop. So it's really, really great and an ongoing program. So we're really lucky to have that with Butte County. And then another component of that is that we can also take students on field trips to the landfill and do a landfill tour. So we offer some small scholarships for classrooms to be able to take their students out there. We just got to do some landfill field trips for the first time this last spring since before COVID. So that was really exciting to be able to do.
Yeah.
And then a new program we have.
Tell me a little more about.
I'm sorry. A new education program we have is Trees Please. So it's actually kind of two parts. It is a tree planting program, which is a whole other department with Beck, but also it has an education workshop component as well. So Please stands for planting literacy in education and action, environmental action and stewardship education. That's what it is. Very long acronym that the teacher brain in me made up. So that's a really similar kind of thing where you can sign up to have the workshop, or we also do tree planting events on school campuses where we do the workshop at the same time. So it can be a standalone workshop or with an actual tree planting event. Okay, I'm done talking about those.
Okay, what is CAPE?
Yes, so thank you for reminding me. CAPE was a one-year funded program also from Butte County. That's with the Air Quality Management District. We're going to apply for an additional year of funding. So fingers crossed that we'll be granted that. If not, we actually have enough support right now to maintain the program until funds run out, which may be this school year. And that's community air protection education. And so it might evolve into just our urban forest tree planting program because they are really closely related, but they're not the same exact thing. And this is where we teach students about air quality and how to keep our bodies safe when it comes to bad air quality, how to read the air quality monitoring, how it's related to the climate and climate change, and how it's different. It's really talking about air pollution and how air pollution can be hazardous for our health.
One of the programs that's been really successful over the years is the Forum Series. And that's an adult program. And I think it's been really great. What can you tell us about
it? I really enjoy the Forum Series. So each year we do community forums. Since I've started, or I think even before that, there's been an annual theme. Last year was climate change and resilience. This year is environmental justice and sustainable communities. We focus on a different topic. We tend to host anywhere from 2 to 4 forums a year. This is open to anybody in the community. They're free. Sometimes they're outdoors, weather permitting. And we have a panel of experts on a specific topic, bringing information to the table for the audience from different perspectives. And then we tend to try to center it around a discussion, whether it's small groups or question and answer session, and really encourage our audience to come away from those with some kind of call to action, what we can do to make things better when it comes to that particular topic. So our next one's actually going to be a water justice forum, talking about regional water and sustainable communities and kind of the intersection between urban planning and watershed management and up in the upper watershed, how it all kind of ties together and what it means for us here in Butte County and into the future. So our panelists are coming together right now. It's really exciting. That'll be at the end of August. So that's something to look forward to as well. And that information's always on our website. And the recordings of those events are on our YouTube channel. So you can actually go back and watch the recordings going back to 2020 on our YouTube channel from those forums. So that's really cool too.
And I just want to say both Beck's, what do you call those things?
Events.
Website.
On social media?
The YouTube channel. Both those. I'm not so much on social media anymore, but I can attest to the fact that the website is just full of information. You can learn a lot about the history and so forth. So that's becknet.org. So go there too. Of course, one of my favorite events is the Endangered Species Fair, which has now become an Endangered Earth event. And this was new this year, a big change in that. Could you talk a little bit about that? And this is an educational event for both adults and children. And so it's a good...
Yeah, the Endangered Species Fair started a really long time ago and was always a really fun family event held in, you know, Cedar Grove or One Mile or somewhere in Bidwell Park, and really focused on species and the environment, and had an educational component. As you know, when the Procession of Species started, a couple decades into having the event every year, then the Procession of Species with the puppet making started. So you all went into classrooms and did workshops with kiddos and built puppets about endangered species and really focusing on species. And, you know, with the rise in the climate crisis and just this shift in our generational mindset about how urgent things are, and really kind of also, like, frankly, the change in makeup of the leadership here at Butte Environmental Council, we're a much, on average, younger organization now, where we've kind of grown up in this crisis. We decided to, with the change of with COVID, you know, kind of give us the opportunity to reinvent some things, and so we thought we'd try out the Endangered Earth event this year, and maybe we'll just start calling it the Endangered event. It'll always be endangered. That's the point. But really to bring or call attention to the more urgency in not just saving our species, but saving our planet to maintain habitability for humans, right? So it's about degradation of the ecosystem and our atmosphere and our water and displacement of people from, you know, where they should be able to live because of wildfires and flooding and non-potable water access and heat. Oh my gosh, heat is a huge issue right now. I mean, we're seeing hundreds of people dying in Europe right now because, you know, it's just not a climate that humans are used to. And so we really have been trying to call attention to that. So we brought it from this really fun, kind of like festive, a cultural piece that has been a big part of Chico. We don't want to change it. We don't want to change it too much, but we wanted to bring it front and center. So we had it at the City Plaza this year, so that we were more visible. And I think it had a good turnout. I think it definitely, I mean, it was my first year doing it. I think there's a lot of room for growth. And I think it'll be awesome. Like twice good next year. And, you know, we'll still keep talking about how we want it to be conveyed in the community, maybe have even a bigger procession. Things just need to get going a little earlier on. And everybody's a volunteer for the most part. And so everybody's volunteering for everything at this point. And, you know, you can only do so much with the muscle you have on your committee for planning events. So we'll just have to get started a little earlier this year, and it'll be much bigger and even more interactive next year. But this year I thought was a really good turnout still. We still had over 20 vendors, informational booths, we had sidewalk chalk games, amazing speakers. We had Allie out there just really, Allie Matters Night, really driving home the fact that we need to become more interactive with and live within our ecosystem. So that was really great too. So I could talk for a lot longer about the Endangered event this year. I want it to always be something that the community cherishes as a valuable and family friendly event, but that we take something away from that too. So it's really about instilling hope, even though things are a little bit more urgent now. And I hope to continue that message as we go into the future. But we have a lot of work to do with the environment. Beck always has a lot of work to do. But to maintain that hope, we still have to keep doing the work.
You always have a lot of work to do, right. For sure. Yeah.
Let's change gears just a little bit and talk about your advocacy work. Now, Susan is very active in Smart Growth Advocates, which is opposing Valley's Edge development. And Beck is involved in that, too.
Thanks for that opportunity, Stephen. So Addison Winslow's on your show last week and talking about the housing element. And so I actually kind of need to apologize to the community because our most updated advocacy framework is on my list of things to add to the website still. But it really outlines, you know, what BEC stands for in terms of land, air, and water, which is our main mission statement. But also it breaks down the intersection of environmentalism and urban issues such as housing. So Butte Environmental Council has stake in housing because there's a lot of different impacts to the environment when we don't have a sustainable housing model in our community. And so, you know, we get these angry messages sometimes about why BEC hasn't taken a stance on the homeless and getting the homeless out of the creeks. And yes, we are worried about water quality health, especially in the creeks that provide habitat for our salmon populations or our native fish populations and go out to the Sacramento River and eventually to the ocean. Like, those watersheds are really important in this area. And of course, you know, we want to make sure that they stay as pristine as possible. But also, we need to make sure that we are treating our neighbors and our humans and our community with dignity and respect. And so what that means is that as a community, we need to encourage our leadership to ensure that there's somewhere safe for every human to exist. And we can't force them to continue a traumatic experience of being shuffled around, displaced, just for the sake of the watershed health specifically. Like, we're solutions based. And so what we're saying, what our stance is that we need to have sustainable housing that is affordable. And let's define affordable as being housing that, you know, our lowest income folks can afford to live in and be able to thrive in and build themselves up and into the life that they would prefer to have for themselves. And then let's also simultaneously make sure that we are maintaining a habitat for our animal friends too and our plant friends too. So it's complex is the point. And so many people like to take a more simplified approach to advocacy. You know this, yes this. And it's like, well, there has to be some kind of intersection. We need to find the sweet spot where we can treat humans with dignity and respect and set them up for success, set each other up for success, lift each other up, but also maintain the health of our ecosystem. Those don't have to be mutually exclusive. And anybody who tries to pit them as such is not seeing the bigger picture. So that's been our main focus recently, has really been the housing elements through the whole region we've given input on, and that is where we say this is part of the solution. You know, sanctioned campgrounds, when North State Shelter Team, like, everybody needs to write letters of support for that. That's part of the solution. The pallet shelter, is it perfect? No. Is it managed well? We're getting there. Is it part of the solution? Absolutely. Toro Shelter has its shortcomings. You know, everybody has its own little set of issues. But collaboratively, collectively, those are part of the solution. So affordable housing, more affordable housing, more infill, rezoning, inside the city where we're closer to those facilities that will help people survive and thrive, closer to access to affordable food, closer to access to healthcare, all types of healthcare, closer to access to cooling centers, and just those things that will help people just survive in a more dignified way. Those are all part of the solution. And so we're asking the city to consider rezoning property within the city center or to allow for more dense growth. That way, transportation services will be more efficient with busing and public transportation. Biking will be, infrastructure will be more efficient and utilized more. Pedestrians will be safer because, you know, maybe we can slow some of these cars down and stop hitting people on a weekly basis. You know, it's so intersected. We got some flack for taking a stance on the housing element, but really, it's kind of a foundational piece when it comes to environmentalism. So, like I said, just the big picture, it's very complex. And I hope that people hear that and just remind each other, like, this is a really complex problem that we need to find multiple solutions to in order for us to really bring success to fruition. Thank you. I mean, really that statement there, it kind of bleeds into a lot of the other advocacy pieces. You know, Valley's Edge is coming up. We have a big discussion about that to have. Air quality is always going to be a concern because it doesn't just affect climate change. It affects the air we breathe, affects our health. And it tends to be in our community and in communities all over the country that poorer communities are exposed to poor air quality, you know, just because that's where we put affordable housing, is next to freeways and major roadways. So it's all about developing in a way that is sustainable in terms of air quality, water quality, access to food, access to you know, locally grown food, and making sure that we're not setting our poorest folks up to have the crumbs at the bottom of that system. I don't know. There's so much more. Tuscan Water District just is another thing. Hopefully they're about to do their election, I think, in October, September, October, for their board. That's a groundwater issue. Our groundwater is totally shared. It's not disconnected from other groundwater systems in the region. It's also connected to the groundwater in Glenn County. And, you know, it's connected to our surface water. It doesn't live in isolation. So that was definitely something we took a stance on. But advocacy work is a lot of work. And what's the challenge for BEC is that we don't have a full-time or even a part-time regular staff person for advocacy. We did hire Addison as a contractor to work on the housing element because we saw that as a really foundational piece to that really bleeds into all of the things that I mentioned briefly a moment ago. But advocacy is paid for by our grassroots fundraising. Those are our members, which have dwindled over the years. And that's our one-time donors, which we have some amazing one-time donors every single year that just knock my socks off every time I see a bigger chunk come in. And it's validating, you know, that we're doing good work. But in order to keep doing the advocacy, we need those grassroots funds. It's a lot harder to get grants and contracts for advocacy work, you know. So,
this is another place to plug BEC and how people can contribute. BECnet.org, is there a donation page, or where do they go to give you money to become angels who give?
I would just honestly say BECnet.org, so BEC for Butte Environmental Council, net.org. On that main page at the top, on the right-hand side, you'll see a button that says support BEC, and that'll walk you through the entire process. So just land on our main page and poke around, and you'll find all kinds of good stuff, including how to support our work and particularly our advocacy work. I did say the advocacy page needs some updating. It's on my list of things to do, but right now I'm neck deep in planning the Chico Bicycle Music Festival. So bear with me on the website updates, but there's enough there to get you through a few hours of reading.
Before we move to the Bicycle Music Festival, let's talk a little bit about BEC Action. And I have to say, people, in a plea to donate, that you get more bang for your buck with BEC than any other organization. The other one is CHAT. BEC and CHAT are the two heroes of the community. That's in right. Terms of giving you what you pay for, making use of the money in really, really positive ways. So I am bald-facedly asking you, please, to contribute to BEC. I feel like I'm
Susan,
fundraiser. But
well, hold on. Let me interrupt you right there, because I really appreciate you saying that.
For BEC.
I have this massive guilt that comes with anybody saying that, because so many in our community are doing such important work. And we do support each other. So many of our nonprofits in this community step up to volunteer for each other and to encourage donating for each other. KZFR is super supportive of BEC, and so we're always appreciative of KZFR and how important our public radio is and the shows that you all have on. I'll be on Ray's show later this week, so that'll be fun. We're at all of our nonprofits do benefit from those grassroots fundraising, and BEC really does a lot with the money that gets donated, a lot. But just like any business, the expenses that come with being a business, because nonprofits are still a business, we still have to pay payroll taxes. It gets a little bit overwhelming sometimes. So thank you, Susan, for just that plug. I appreciate it. I have a hard time asking for help sometimes.
Thank you for the plug for KZFR, because KZFR is in my top three, so it's KZFR, CHAT, and BEC. So let's talk about BEC's action, talking about people being involved, and because volunteers are just as important as money. You are a volunteer-run organization. You only have a few paid staff, and the rest of it is done by volunteers, and you get a lot of work done. So let's talk about some of the actions that volunteers can help with. Why don't we start with the Bidwell and Creek cleanup, because that's another really great event. Very thick, a lot of stuff.
Yes, so the next annual, the 35th annual Bidwell Park and Chico Creeks cleanup will be on September 17th. This year we're going back to just being one day. So during COVID, it went to 2 days to spread things out and make things safe. And we kept it 2 days last year. But because it is a lot of work, we decided to just do a longer one-day event and then have a volunteer appreciation celebration afterwards. So it will go from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. is the cleanup, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. Yeah, 5 hours is the actual cleanup, where we'll have trucks and trailers, and the city always brings out their loader and staff, so to collaborate on the bigger things to get out of the park and creeks. And a lot of boots on the ground. Our biggest turnout was actually the year before last, and that was over 550 volunteers that turned out. Last year we had just around a little over 400 that turned out. I might be off by 100, but there's a lot of numbers in my head right now. But the point being that a lot of groups and families just look forward to it every year as an annual way to just engage in our environment within Chico and up into Bidwell Park. And so We do about 15 to 17 miles of creeks and park areas. We give out maps and assign people to certain areas. And we have two drop-off sites, Waste Management and Recology are both supporting that this year. We've already got the planning underway for that. And in fact, there's already a sign-up form for volunteering. We're already gearing up for that. Excited to have that this year again. Last year, I think we pulled out just shy of 20 tons of waste. We diverted quite a bit of it to the away from the landfill to recycling and to like metal, scrap metal, and all that. So we take out the hazardous waste, you know, take it to the household hazard. So we dispose of everything really, you know, appropriately too, and try to keep as much as we can from going to the landfill. Over the entire lifetime of the event, I think we hit over 250 or 260 tons last year. I need to put those numbers back up on our website too. Since 35 years ago, yeah, we've gotten over 250 tons. I think it's 260, but numbers.
And
who's counting?
It's just amazing what you find in the creeks. It's amazing the kinds of things. And in a year, you know, all of us, it's all built up again. Everything from appliances to personal items.
And it's been like that for a long time.
It blows me away.
Yeah, it's been like that for a long time. The waste comes from a lot of different sources.
Yeah,
a lot of people will try to say it's this or that or the other thing. Students, it's our houseless population. It's people just dumping their stuff. It's everybody. It's everybody contributing to it. It accumulates, and the September cleanup always happens the weekend it happens, because it is in coordination with the coastal cleanup and the Great Sierra River cleanup, and so it's really national that people are out deep cleaning up waterways. We look forward to that every year, and I think maybe this year we were talking about maybe doing some kind of award for the group or individual who finds the most interesting thing, you know, maybe school age appropriate thing, but just liven it up a little bit.
A lot of work with tree planting.
Over the last several years, there's been a couple of different tree planting programs. There was the Oaks program. I'm hoping to look into bringing that back a little bit too soon. I have to write some grants for it. And then the last 3 years, the city of Chico had an urban forest revitalization project that we had a contract for. So that's sunsetting. I'll actually be presenting, hopefully, at the end of next month to the Parks Commission with the city about how the project went. But basically, we helped the city plant over 700 trees in parks, street trees, like park strips, and in front yards, and sometimes in backyards. Just that didn't count towards the CAL FIRE grant, but we still would plant some trees where they needed to go for different folks. Sorry, my phone's ringing in the background. We now have two grants through California Relief, and those are still CAL FIRE grants. They just get, you know, trickled down, for planting trees on school campuses. And we're pretty flexible with what a school campus means. It doesn't have to be a unified school district. So we just encourage anybody that has a quote school campus to reach out to us if you're interested in having a tree, and in community parks. And so the first part of the grant was focused just in Chico, and then we were awarded a bigger amount of money to actually push it out to all of Butte County, also our adjacent communities that are really close to us. So it's basically within 30 miles of Chico and all of Butte County. So it goes out to, we could go out to Hamilton City and Orland and up to Los Molinos. All of those are on the table for options. Our biggest challenge right now is actually getting phone calls back from folks.
Cool.
To make that start to plan for that to happen. So, it was interesting you mentioned volunteers, because we do use volunteers for our tree planting, and volunteers count towards grant match money. So we don't have to come up with actual funds for some of this match. It's actually volunteer time has a dollar value attached to it with these grants. It's really fabulous. So yeah, it's sometimes grants are like, you know, you have to match a quarter of the funding. So you're like, well, I want to apply for this $100,000 grant, but $25,000 is a lot of match. And you're really discouraged by that. So they really help out when they say, well, you know, every hour for it's volunteer hours. So every volunteer hour has an actual dollar amount attached to it. And that counts towards match, which is really nice, which is why I'm always pushing for volunteers. Mm-hmm. That's why volunteers are very, very valuable.
Yeah. We're talking to Caitlin Dalby. She is the executive director of the Butte Environmental Council. And Caitlin, I want to move on now because I want to give you plenty of time to talk about the Chico Bicycle Music Festival, which is coming up this Saturday. It's a music event.
Well, I think that the main difference is somewhat in the name and the slogan of being a pedal-powered event. We power our stage with a bicycle generator that generates electricity for our amplified sound and such. So the message of the event is sustainability. And like I was talking earlier about the intersection of environmentalism and urban planning and social interactions, biking is a very unique thing where we're talking alternative transportation. It's healthy for our bodies. It's good for fun. It's good for socializing. And so all of that just kind of tells us we should throw a party about it. So the Chico Bicycle Music Festival, this is the 13th year of the festival running. It's been hosted primarily by Beck, I think, for like the last 5 or 6 years. And it just transitioned to being a Beck-specific event. It was started by, you know, just grassroots folks from the community wanting to do a cool thing.
My daughter-in-law, Samantha Zangrilli, was the one who created the first Chico Bicycle.
Yeah, shout out to Sammy. Sammy still is giving good advice. So shout out to Sammy for sure. And there are other bicycle music festivals in other communities as well, which is pretty fun. So this year, there's slightly less stops this year on the procession to the main event. But it does start downtown at the farmers market. So we'll have a group called the Sun Followers playing there. And then Tito with Thunderlump will be hopping on the pedicab and doing live on bike. So he'll have wireless mic set up, and we'll be riding through downtown Chico, probably meandering a little bit, catching everybody's attention, saying, hey, the party's coming this way, let's go. And we end up at what we love to call the end of normal. But it's 2500 Estes Road. It's also been known to host the Butcher Shop. It's where the event has been held as long as I've ever known. But I know that there's been maybe a couple of different spots. But it's usually at the end of normal. And so anybody's invited to come out to Farmer's Market, check out the market, listen to some music. And at 11 o'clock is when the Sun Follower starts. About 11:30 is when we'll probably hop on bikes and start riding towards 2500 Estes Road. Once there, the show will go probably to about 8 o'clock. We have kicking things off will be Sweaty Manchego, followed by Foxy Jeff, Tight Knots, Sons of Jefferson, Thunderlump, the full band will come out, Ronnie Jean, Ants in My Eyes, Samaria, Viking Skate Country, XDS, and then wrapping up will be Blue Egyptian. So it's quite the lineup. We actually have two stages this year. We're really excited about that. And over 30 vendors. We'll have Pedal Press there doing live printing. Steven, you better be there. And I was told that you had the first live printed t-shirt, and that you took it off your back and you had them printed. I love that story that so much. So I hope that we get to reenact that great. Situation. You don't have to take the shirt off your back, but we'll have shirts there. We actually had some shirts donated from some thrift stores, and that was really great. And so we'll have some thrifted t-shirts to print on. We'll have some Beck t-shirts that you can print on. You can bring your own shirt to print on, but Pedal Press, they'll have both bikes there. Dual printing, one will print in all black and one will print in all white, depending on, you know, the color of your shirt. It'll be just a small donation to Beck, to get your shirt printed. So it's $12. If you want to get a shirt from Beck, it's $8 if you bring your own. And it's a little fundraiser for Beck, part of that grassroots fundraising we were talking about. And to make up some of the money from this, we're making sure the bands all get some kind of compensation, as well as tips. We always encourage you to tip the bands, tip the Golden Geese. The bands get that money. We like to support our artists. There's a lot of art vendors coming out. We've got like crochet, jewelry making, pottery, things like that. We'll have some nonprofits coming out to share information and sell swag. I know North Valley Harm Reduction is going to be there. 6th Street Center for Youth is going to be there. Another important one that's slipping my mind right now. I should probably click around my computer to make sure I get it out there. But and then food trucks. We'll have some Woodstock's Pizza. Gnarly Deli will be out. We'll have some shaved ice. We'll have cotton candy. I think we're confirming a taco truck today. So it's still kind of coming together. But also Sierra Nevada, La Roca are both providing beverages. And so with that said, I want to encourage everybody to come. You can come and go, as long as you're being safe, but it will be hot that day. We will have a cooling tent. We'll have a first aid station. I encourage you to bring your own umbrellas or canopies, and your way to stay cool, and hydrated. We'll have a clean canteen hydration station there. Yeah, it's like a real festival. That's really coming together. It's exciting. It's a real festival.
A festival.
There'll be yard games, but also bring bubbles, bring your kids' toys, bring a blanket, bring a picnic, like all of those things. It's very open. It's free. We encourage riding your bikes. There will be bike parking valet from Chico Velo, which is great. But there's also parking for vehicles. Yes, but it's, you know, it's a music festival. There's plenty of space for people to you know, put down some chairs, kind of further away, picnic a little bit, check out some booths. Yeah. I think I get all of
it. So,
I'll still give a shout out to the sponsors.
Didn't take it. I thought it was.
Almost.
But you got it all in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great. Yeah. And there are a lot of them because it takes a lot to pull off an event like that. So, reminder, it's this coming Saturday, July 30th. It starts at 11 downtown, goes to End of Normal. They'll be there from 12:30 and bands all day long, food all day long. Drinks all day long. What should people do if they want to volunteer with Beck? And can you describe a little bit about the variety of volunteer opportunities that people can find at Beck? You don't have to be out in the hot sun.
Yeah, that's right. So the volunteer, there's a volunteer form on our social media pages. So on our Instagram and our Facebook from Butte Environmental Council, I actually need to cross post it again to some other spots today. There's three different shifts to help out. So you can sign up for one, two, or all three. You can change positions. So you can do three hours helping with the Chico Velo bike valet, which we do need volunteers for, or helping get parking done. And then go cool off under the canopy, helping to pour drinks, or just generally walking around enjoying the event, but helping keep trash cleaned up and, you know, if we need to pull garbage cans kind of thing, just to keep it, you know, generally clean. Collecting, sorry.
So
we do. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
You still need.
Yep. We could definitely still use volunteers for this event. We did put out a volunteer call for volunteer blast on our social media in the last few days. I don't have like a short link for it, but you can find it on the event page as well. So on the website at becknet.org. So there's a link there to volunteer. And then what will happen is you can decide for what you want and you're willing to do. And then on our end, we'll put the puzzle pieces together and we'll be contacting people who have signed up to volunteer in the next couple of days to just let you know where to check in. What we've decided you will be best fit for, whether it's collecting money as a Golden Geese person for the bands, or pouring drinks, or helping with the bike ballet, and that's just based on what people say that they are willing to do or interested in doing. We won't put you on something that you're not willing to do.
But in general, for Beck, you need.
Oh yeah, not. Oh, you mean beyond the CBMF? Yeah. And and we have a general volunteer form on the website too. So on the becknet.org website, there is a place that says get involved, and there's a Google form you can sign up to just be on our volunteer list. And what we do when we have events, or we have tree planting happening, or if we have the cleanup coming up, we have a master list of people who have said, I want to volunteer for Beck at some point. And you can say yes or no, or ignore our email, but we love it when people respond. But yeah, so we usually put out an email blast to our master volunteer list. Anybody who is interested in volunteering at any given time, to just be on our volunteer list, they can sign up on the website, or when they see us in person. Sometimes we're at Thursday night market. Sometimes, we'll always have signups at events like this one. So there will be a chance to just sign up in person, and we'll add you to our master list for volunteering.
Okay, that sounds great. We have been talking with Caitlin Dalby. She is the executive director of the Butte Environmental Council. It's a hugely effective organization. Caitlin is an amazing director. She works and works and works and works. I think we should all appreciate her and help her out whenever we can, because she's doing really important stuff.
Thanks.
Thank you for being with us today on Ecotopia. Hey. I want to ride my
bicycle. Yeah, thank you. So this year's event is being supported by KZFR, Chico News and Review, Clean Canteen, Chico Velo, Sierra Nevada, La Roca, Pedal Press, yay, Explore Butte County, and they'll be out there too. Recology, Mountain Sports, Members First Credit Union, Sunset, Chico Sunset Prints, Print Shop, Green Line Cycles. Ooh, I forgot to mention the bike raffle. So come out and win a bike that's been donated by Green Line. Thank you, Green Line, for doing that for us. And Captain Killian Productions. So we're just really grateful to always have the support of our businesses and our community. Businesses that want to sponsor at any level can always reach out to us. That information is also on our website. We love giving shout outs to our business supporters as well. So, it's a community. It takes a community to make things like this go.
I have a story about the bicycle raffle. Maybe 7 years ago, there was a beautiful powder blue turquoise bicycle. I decided I coveted it. And I said,
no way.
I'm gonna buy one raffle ticket. That's all it takes to win it. And I won.
Aw, that's so cool.
It was about the only thing I've ever won. It was destroyed in the fire, sadly. Yeah.
Yeah, we lost it in the campfire, yeah.
Again, thank you, Caitlin.
Riding my bicycle,
riding my bicycle. So smooth. When I was 9 years old, I had my bicycle. Now that I'm 31, I think it's just as fun. So fun. Before I got my guitar, before I had my first car, I had my training wheels, bicycle made of steel. So real. It's a beautiful day for a ride. You know you wanna come along. It's a beautiful day outside.
You're listening to Ecotopia on KZFR. We do apologize for the sound quality in that interview. It was not as good as we thought it might be. Stay tuned. Up next, Bobby Tryon with the Chico Food Project, the Blue Boys, Fran Kenkel being interviewed on North State Give and Take. Always appreciate hearing from you. EcotopiaKZFR at gmail.com. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Might stay yesterday.